Thank you, Bobby. He was hesitant because it's his father's chapter. But he agreed to that anyway. I appreciate the reading. I appreciate Grace's phone call to get a lesson, a verse for us to consider. How did they get there? It was U.S. Airways, flight 1549, January the 15th, 2009. Yes, it was a cold January day in New York. LaGuardia was filled with people still trying to get home. A senior captain took off with a group of people. He didn't get very far before he hit a flock of birds and he lost all power. This is probably coming to you. He radioed the tower and control said, "You can come back," or "There is another airport very close by." Waiting for response. The response came back from Captain Sully, "Neither. I'm going to land this plane on the Hudson River." I shudder just speaking about it. He graduated first in his class at the Air Force Academy. He had been flying for 42 years. He was quoted as saying, "In the history of flying, I had never expected to crash an airplane." But he also said, "These 42 years prepared me for this very moment." His equation was simple, and then we'll move on. Life is going to challenge you. Two things need to happen: calm preparedness and situation awareness. If you would like to answer this question, you may. What does Esther, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Rahab, and a little Jewish slave girl have in common? Did I make things difficult with the little Jewish slave girl? Well, perhaps I did. We'll get to her. This group knows very good and well what happened to the rest of them. They changed the world where they lived. Rahab lost her mom and dad. She was taken in by a man and raised faithfully. She gets taken from there into a palace. What happened? How did she get to be where she was? When the need arose, what did she do? She sent word to the one person she cared about, who knew, because of his faithfulness, she could depend on. "Mordecai, what are we gonna do?" And the response was, "Perhaps you're in the right place at the right time to do the right thing." She just replaced a queen that got exiled because she didn't obey the rules. It was time to disobey the rules. She hadn't seen the king for 30 days. Yet she went into him. She was accepted. And because of her love for God and her courage, her nation was saved. You know, we sing songs. I just love Vacation Bible Study that went so well. We sing songs about a lion's den. We sing songs about a fiery furnace. But how did these guys get to where they were? Well, I know a little about raising young men. Okay, very little. Thank you, Pat. But I know young men like to eat. And they like to eat a lot and often. And for four young men to go to a steward and say, well, we're in this foreign country and we don't have our families around and we don't have any friends and whatever, but we don't want to defile ourselves, so vegetables and water. When I was a young man, or now, vegetables and water, that's a pretty hard regimen to take. But what did they want to do? They wanted to stay separate. They wanted to keep themselves pure. There would be no lion's den. There would be no answering of dreams. There would be no fiery furnace that four ended up when only three were thrown in. There'd be none of that if these guys hadn't have said from the very beginning, we're going to stay the course. I just love this part. Why? Because the king told Daniel two times. The first time he said, I'm having to throw you in the lion's den, but I certainly hope that the God that you serve continually is going to see you through. No entertainment, no food, tough night. And he hurried down the corridor early in the morning. And what did he say again? Daniel, he's in anguish at this point. Daniel, does the God that you serve continually, has he saved you? And he was so relieved with the answer. Rahab met two guys in the middle of the night under unusual circumstances because here they come. They're spies and she doesn't know them from Adam. And whatever the case she takes them in, I just love what she said to them. I know that your God is the God of heaven and earth, and that he can save. And sure enough, another major event in the history of the world, walls come tumbling down. And there she was with her household. And was she rewarded for her faith and her courage? She ends up in the lineage of David, which puts her in the lineage of the Son of God. Well, Naaman ends up in a real predicament, doesn't he? He finally, after this long journey, this guy ends up in front of the house of the prophet that he's been longing to meet. Come on out and heal me. That's what he wanted. Well, the servant comes out and says, you know, just go wash in this dirty river seven times and things are going to be fine. He even had to be talked into doing that. How'd he get there? We don't have any song about this little girl, do we? Taken from her family, I don't know how young, but old enough to be able to persuade her mistress, who was the wife of Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army, second only to the king, I would surmise. She persuaded the wife. The wife persuaded her husband. Her husband persuaded the king. And the king wrote a letter and sent him all the way to Israel. On what word? The word of a little Jewish slave girl. And Naaman, he got two things washed away in the Jordan River, didn't he? I think. One, it's really obvious. He got the leprosy washed away. He was clean. But I beg to think that he got his pride washed away at the same time. Because of the things that he said and did later, showed that he wasn't the same man that said, I'm not going to wash in a dirty old river. There's got to be something better than this. A hero does not set out to be one. They simply do what needs to be done. Perhaps it is easier to honor God in some courageous action in the limelight of time, of monumental emergency, than it is to honor him consistently in the ordinary, everyday life, which requires a different kind of courage, fortitude, vision, and spiritual maturity. There are no accidents in a faith-driven life, just opportunities for positive reactions in both good and bad situations. And God says, as we heard last week from Jeff, deal with it. God says, deal with it as you have learned from my son and my word. We have a term, I don't know how old it is, but we give ourselves the imagination of wanting our 15 minutes of fame. God, what big, important, noteworthy deed do you have planned for me? How can I look good while I'm doing good? And we get the answer in 1 Timothy 2:2. That we all may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. And now I'm going to name some names, and bear with me. Captain Sully said it was everyday consistency with what's right. Have you heard that recently? Well, we heard it from Jeff Van Dusen last Sunday night. He was asked, why are you doing this for me? From another young man he was studying with. And he said simply, because it was just the right thing to do. That's been on my mind all week. What can each of us do for the Lord in this congregation? This is the reason for my lesson. I'm not asking us to get something started because it's already going. I'm asking us to go forward with it. For the last two Sunday nights, we've had our two elders up front with the children's class. And I don't know about you, and I apologize for embarrassing, but the ease at which those children came up here when they both wanted, it was time for class. I'm used to being around a lot of kids. And my stories are going to stop because my job changed, so whatever. But the children don't come to people they don't know. Not little children. They don't come to people they don't trust. They don't come to people that they don't have feelings for. Little children just don't do that. They're afraid. They stay away. They move on with the little ones that they're used to. We've got people thinking about having kids. We've got people here that are pregnant. We have people here with babies. We have people here with small children. And God has blessed this congregation immensely. And I am thrilled. Praise the Lord. Now, what are we going to do? You see, from time to time, I see Sam out here in the lobby swinging small children. I don't swing small children. I used to when the boys were little, but not anymore. A realization, and I'm not saying anything about anybody. Let me talk to you about Dan Stretch when he was young. I did the same thing as the young man in the scripture that said, you know, I'm going to go to two separate groups of people and I'm going to ask for their advice. And he goes to the older ones and they said, you know, you got to relieve these taxes. It's just unbearable. And he goes to his friends that are his age. Well, what do you guys think I ought to do? Oh, make it worse. Show them who's boss. And we know the result, don't we? We know the result. And I'll tell you, when I went to my friends that were outside the Lord for advice, I got heartache. I got a lot of heartache. And I just visited a man a few days ago that was my mentor when my parents passed away. And when I went to him and his wife, things just seemed to work out. By the way, I grew up with him as my elder, one of my elders. It's time for us, if we haven't, to embrace our young. Not that we haven't, because our elders have got a program in place for our young people to be with other young people, other couples, and so on and so forth. Here's Art and Pat talking about getting to know one another. I thought my wife had signed up. She thought I'd signed up. And when I found out neither had, I was embarrassed. And I need to go to Art and Pat and get things going. It's cake season and it's busy. My apologies. There's going to come a time, if you've got kids like me when I was young, they're going to go, you know what? I need to hear something from somebody else. I've listened to you for a long time, Mom and Dad. And if they choose to get that advice here rather than there, I can't tell you the difference it's going to make. Just that simple. We need to learn to listen because we want them to come. Forge friendships that become lasting relationships. In the church, to support. Out of the church, to encourage. Realize as a Christian, people of all kinds are going to need you. They're going to need you for advice, warning, and comfort. Friendships are good only when they promote and support the truth. Friendships can also establish trust. And truth and trust are part of the foundation that real relationships are built on. I didn't write this, I wish I had. The glory of friendship is not the outstretched hand or the kindly smile. It is the potential for raising that relationship to a spiritual level. That explains why you are the way you are. And that through God and His Son, those looking at you can be the same way. Done through love. No one can direct the wind, but we can help ourselves and others adjust the sails. Well, Captain Sully had three things that he lived by, and I'll mention them, but I don't know what he meant by them, so I put my own in. Communication, keep the lines open. Make an effort to show you care. Try to be happy and show God's joy every single day. Competence, showing those around you that you are in control of your life. Because most of them, they don't have control. And you're in control because Jesus is in control of you. Performing every day in a manner that is consistent with your godly beliefs. And last, compassion. Taking the time and the effort to listen and truly care about others in their events and feelings in their lives. Gerald brought this home so vividly for us on Wednesday night in 1 Thessalonians. Work of faith, labor of love, steadfastness of hope. Work, labor, steadfast are actions that directly affect the attitudes and beliefs of faith, hope, and love. And I'm thinking to myself, where have I heard that before? I'm reading 1 Thessalonians. Where have I heard that before? Well, we just heard it from Bobby today. So I turned there. Sure enough, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love. That's what we can do for us here. What can we do for others? 1 Peter 3:15, but honor Christ in your hearts. Okay, I can do that. And be ready always. Stop a moment. What is this always thing? It's God's expectation of my readiness. And be ready always to give an answer for the reason of the hope that is within you with gentleness and respect. This might sound familiar. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I nobly do my part to win that soul for thee. Our young are so precious. Let's get to know them. I feel confident that I am never going to land a jet airplane. I'm even more confident that I will not land one if I had to on the Hudson River. I don't think that I'm going to harbor spies or find myself in a lion's den or a fiery furnace. But you know, I may have a little something in common spiritually with this young Jewish slave girl. I may be part of the process of helping someone be spiritually healed. I'll finish with an airplane sing. God promises us, if we are Christians, a safe landing. But he never said the flight wouldn't be bumpy. The mistakes I've made in life are thinking that insignificant happenings in my life are just what they are, insignificant. And I find out later they're not. That the defining moments of the bridges I need to cross and the bridges I need to burn, that sometimes I made the decision just not to cross the bridge at all, which was not the right one. But now I leave a question for you. What are you doing with a cup of cold water God has put in your hand? I hope you spend some time thinking about that, because I have. And if you're not in the Lord, you need to be thinking about taking that cup. He's offering. How did they get to there? They got there from trusting, obeying, believing, staying the course, and doing what was right. We offer the invitation at this time.